The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. My name is Chris Crawford. With me today is my buddy Drew Silva. Today is Saturday, August 19th, 2023. So last week we took a look at the hitting categories. This week we're going to take a look at those pitching categories, some under the radar players or players that don't get enough mention that can help you in your standard 5x5 categories. But before we get into that, let's get into some headlines. And speaking of pitchers, Drew, Tony Gonsolin is not only headed to the injured list, it looks like he's thrown his last pitch this year, placed on the injured list with what they're calling forearm inflammation, which is interesting because I heard Gonsolin mention that it's somewhere between his shoulder and his elbow. So, hey, let's go forearm instead for placing him on the injured list. Either way, this is a big bummer for the Dodgers and a big bummer for people who are rostering Gonsolin on their fantasy roster.
Yeah, it seems like the Dodgers maybe just found out on Saturday morning what exactly this injury is. It's something he's been apparently pitching through for a little while, and you see that in the results. I think he has an ERA over 8, like in his last 6 starts. Right. Got blown up on Friday night. So this has probably been a lingering thing for him. There's no really exact diagnosis yet, but for Dave Roberts to come out and say like there's a good chance that he's thrown his last pitch of 2023, there's probably some sort of structural damage that just goes beyond the inflammation, right, for them to rule him out like that. The fantasy fallout here, the Dodgers have so many kind of options to throw at the problem. They've been doing this all year, and some of those young guys have underwhelmed. You know, I'd like to see Ryan Pepiot get an extended run. I think that might be what happens. But they could throw Emmett Sheehan, Gavin Stone at the problem, like they've kind of been doing all summer. If Pepiot like gets a locked in rotation spot, which I think that's what's going to happen, I'd really like him in fantasy. I think he's someone that you almost like a must pick up.
Yeah, I think all of those guys are at least a little bit interesting, right? Like, yeah, Gavin Stone was a disaster, and he hasn't had great numbers in the minors either, but has looked better as of late. Did have a couple of nice 6-inning starts recently. Last outing wasn't so good. 5 innings of 3-run baseball, but with 8 strikeouts. The thing with me with Pepiot, and it's the thing with Gavin Stone as well, is can they throw enough quality strikes? Because Pepiot's dealt with some real command issues at times in both the minor leagues and the major leagues. But his stuff is sick. Like, if you take a look at, like, the Pitching Ninja websites and all stuff like that, there is some nasty, nasty stuff that's coming at you. He's looked really good in his minor league outings as well. And Sheehan showed his flashes of brilliance as well. Like, any of those guys is going to get a chance to pitch behind the Los Angeles offense, which is an awfully nice thing to get to pitch behind. I believe they're did I see that Miguel Rojas pitched? One of the Rojas has pitched. Miguel Rojas pitched yesterday against his former team. That's got to be a lot of fun. But
because of what is that hurricane called that's coming off the West Coast? Hillary?
Yes.
So they're kind of in like an innings crunch because they've got to play a doubleheader today. The Angels are playing a doubleheader. Padres are playing a doubleheader. This might be the fullest baseball slate, right? Like, how many games are there? 20? No, something not 20, but 18? I think there's 18, 18 games. I feel sorry for anyone who's on a news shift right now at RotoWire. Poor guys. There's going to be a bit of an innings crunch with that, but I think once the dust settles going into next week, I would guess it's going to be Pepio, but again, the Dodgers have a lot of options there, and whoever gets that spot, even if it's just kind of a carousel, will have some fantasy intrigue, even if just as a streaming candidate.
By the way, just to bring it up real quick, Lance Lynn, holy crap, what a resurgence that's been, and not a huge surprise. I mean, look, the metrics suggested he was having some bad luck for a bad baseball team, but that has been a trade that has worked out quite well in their favor thus far. So, Drew, there was all this talk about who was going to be the first of this loaded 2023 class. Who of them is going to be the first to get up? Was it going to be Dylan Cruz? Is it going to be Paul Skeens? Is it going to be one of those guys? Nope. We should have known that the Los Angeles Angels just don't have the patience. They call up their first round pick. Nolan Chanuel. I just wanted to make sure I pronounced it right, because there's lots of ways you could go with that name, but I did just look it up. Nolan Chanuel gets the call. In his first game, he hits a leadoff, which I think we need to talk about. That makes him all the more interesting.
What's going on?
Playing first base. Listen to these minor league numbers, though. And it's a small sample of 73 at-bats. Dude hit .370 with a .493 slugging percentage. And I'm adding the on-base percentage last because it's that impressive. 5-10. 21 walks over 21 games. Only 10 strikeouts. Added a couple of stolen bases. Now, look, this was a guy who was drafted with the 11th pick. I was a little surprised that it was that late. I thought he might be top 7, top 8, just because he was considered the most advanced bat in the class. So all due respect to Dylan Cruz. In terms of just pure offensive ability, his offensive upside, offensive readiness, was the best of anyone in that class. But I was thinking more mid-2024, early 2025.
Yeah, at best.
August 19th of 2023. Drew, this is crazy. It's one of the earliest call-ups we have ever seen in Major League history for a first-round pick. And hitting at the top of the lineup, how interested are you in Chanuel?
I have no idea, dude. I don't know. It really took me by surprise. See this for a pitcher here and there. It's happened over the years. But for a hitter to be called, you mentioned Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens. Like, they just made their debuts last week in high A or low A ball. Most of the guys that were drafted in that was 40 days ago, the draft. Most of those guys are like in the complex leagues or haven't even started their professional careers. So, and you know me, I'm a dummy that just like looks at baseball reference, looks at minor league numbers and determines whether a guy's going to be good based off that, or maybe watch some YouTube videos. I have no idea how to evaluate this guy. Like, the numbers he put up his last year at Florida Atlantic were outrageous, like an .868 slugging percentage. He batted .447. I'd like to look at these numbers that he put up in the Angels minor league system and say, I don't know if he's going to hit for much power right away, because he had one home run and 96 plate appearances between the complex league and low A and double A. But I don't really even know if that would be a true assessment of what kind of player this is. But he's getting an opportunity. It's insane to me that they put him right at leadoff. But the Angels they're desperate. Like,
yeah,
they're probably not going to make the playoffs. They were aggressive at the trade deadline. They didn't trade Shohei Ohtani. They're probably going to lose Shohei Ohtani. They're just throwing crap at the wall, perhaps. But, you know, they needed a first baseman with CJ Cron going on the injured list, and he has not been good since they got him from the Rockies. So I don't know. Sometimes I think, like, I wish more teams would do this, like be aggressive with a guy that – especially pitchers, like, you know, throwing a baseball is not a natural movement, and young pitchers are like almost always due for surgery at some point. Might as well use their innings when they're young. I know, like, if there are command issues, you've got to try to iron those out on the farm. But I wish that more teams were aggressive like this, but it gives us very little time as like fantasy analysts to evaluate what kind of player they're going to be before they arrive. I have no idea what to expect. I don't think I'd rush out to get him in fantasy, but if he keeps hitting leadoff and you know there's going to be an everyday role,
Yeah.
If it's a deeper league, sure, I'll take a shot and see what it looks like. It's impressive that, you know, he at least got a hit in his major league debut.
Yep. Gets a hit, draws a walk, so he gets on two of the five times that he gets on base. By the way, perfect Angels game. Shohei Ohtani hits a grand slam. They turn a triple play in the top of the ninth inning with Shandy Wells making a perfect throw at home. By the way, I don't know where Yandy Diaz was going, but hey, that's fine. He wanted to get out of, I guess, Anaheim as well, too. Perfect play. Grand slam from Ohtani. Your first round pick makes his debut. Triple play in the ninth.
You lose 9-6.
You lose in extra innings. It's perfect. It can't get any better. It cannot get any better. It is the ultimate Tungsten O'Doyle game. It does not get any better. I feel bad for Angels fans, man. You get to watch Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout play baseball, but you might be a cursed organization, and that cursed organization has been to the World Series infinitely more times than my favorite baseball team. So that's just
Trout.
The way.
Yeah, Trout, by the way, is they're saying any day now he gets activated because he
took
live batting practice on Thursday. I'm assuming he did it again on Friday. I think they're going to skip a minor league rehab assignment if he has no lingering. He said Tuesday that he was still feeling some discomfort, but it's a pain management situation, and we see how desperate the Angels are. I wouldn't be surprised if he's activated Saturday or Sunday. You know, I think he's coming back before the end of the weekend.
Would not or shock maybe me at Monday. All.
Yeah.
And we can just expect their 2024 first-round pick to somehow play in this series before.
Or they don't play. They don't play Sunday. I forgot they got. They got hurricaned out. So
yes,
maybe it happens Saturday. If not, then it would be Monday.
Should be very soon. Either way, be prepared to put that guy back in your lineup. Another call up that is coming. Noelvi Marte. For those of you who aren't familiar, Marte is considered one of the better infield prospects in baseball. He was a guy that got traded from Seattle to Cincinnati in the Luis Castillo blockbuster. Real quick, just want to say thanks again to Drew for eliminating the Seattle Mariners, who are currently in the postseason as we talk right now, a half game up on the Toronto Blue Jays. Thank you very much, my friend. Really do appreciate that. But look, Marte is a guy who has a chance skill-wise to hit for average, hit some power as well, put up solid, if unspectacular, numbers in the minors. Drew, my concern here is, where the heck is Noelvi Marte going to play for the Cincinnati team? And the Reds are not in audition mode right now. They are in postseason mode. They have a real chance of taking one of these wild cards, which is, and heck, winning the division still as well. That is far from out of the reach. So my concern with Marte would be, and I'll be curious if you agree, yeah, I'm very curious about him based on his talent, but where the heck is he going to play?
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan India has that plantar fasciitis barking again. He's back on the injured list.
Sure.
But their best infield alignment right now is Matt McClain at second base, Elly De La Cruz at shortstop, and Spencer Steer at third base. And I think they'll generally stick with that. This is probably a case where, like, all right, Marte is going to get a start this weekend somewhere. And if he hits the ball well, maybe he can roll that into getting more and more starts, but it's sure. A situation where he's probably going to have to impress right away. I'm intrigued by the talent. But he's 21 years old. I don't think you have to rush out to get him in fantasy because there's just not necessarily a regular role for him right now. I mean, they could move, you know, they've been playing Steer at first base and in the outfield, or at even at DH. There could be an opportunity if he does get off to a hot start, but just looking at the landscape of it right now, I think he's going to be more of like a, let's see where he fits on this roster in 2024. He's got that power speed combo that we all like in fantasy. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a really good player long term, but for now. And then I bet when India comes back, which, you know, could be at the end of this month, I think he was shut down for 2 weeks, like a week ago. So he's right in the midst of that period. I would guess that maybe Marte goes back to the minors unless he like just flat out impresses. I ruled out the Mariners from making the postseason. I rule out Marte from being an impactful fantasy infielder the rest of the way, but I'd like to be wrong on that one too.
Congrats to Noelvi Marte on winning Rookie of the Year. No, I totally agree. Like, this is just does seem like a short-term thing. Maybe you use like 1% of your fab, or if you got an empty bench spot, that I can recommend something like that. But it really does seem like he's more of a bench option, and the minor league season is coming close to an end. The Reds can call up Marte now. Today is the day that, according to all of the projections, is that you can call a player up and still have rookie of the year eligibility next year, which is Mason a big Wynn. Thing because of, yes, that's correct. Oh boy. Speaking of Mason Wynn, I want to ask you this before we take our quick commercial break and then get into the pitching categories. Did Pete Alonso know?
Yeah.
You think so?
Did he talk about it post game? I'm assuming
he did. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Mason Wynn made his major league debut, gets his first hit on a little chopper, shows off that speed. Pete Alonso immediately fires the baseball into the second deck. Miles Michaelis, who might be the most angry person in baseball, and I kind of understand why, because you know he's playing for a team who's not very good and he hasn't been all that great, but gets very upset. Everybody's goes nuts. Because that's his first hit, and it is now the property of the crowd in that stadium. He did speak. He apologized profusely. He said he was unaware of the situation. He didn't know. It seems very weird to not know in that situation. And thankfully, Wynn did get the baseball back. So that's great that he does have that. Something that everybody wants is that first hit. They often give it to their
The crowd was getting on them.
They were going nuts. But
it's the loudest Busch Stadium has been in a few months. So. I guess I could see Alonso playing for a bad Mets team this year, just not really paying attention to what's going on around the league, and I wouldn't blame him for not knowing who Mason Wynn is.
Right.
But he didn't throw it into the stands right away. So he like has to stretch for the ball and falls on the ground.
Yeah.
Gets up, looks at it, asks like the pitcher if he wants it. Looks to the Cardinals dugout, and it looks like maybe they were calling for it, and he threw it up in the stand. I think he did it intentionally, a little bit frustrated about the season, about the play that had just happened. But I don't think like Pete Alonso's a bad guy. I thought it was kind of funny, the overall scene. This Cardinal season turned to comedy for me pretty early on. And that's the way that I'm getting through it.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've had to do that for my entire life being a Seattle Mariner fan. So I totally understand what you're going through. Wynn also pointed out, I thought this was funny. He said, it was a funny thing. It became a lot funnier after I got the baseball back, because I could see it being much easier to laugh about a situation like that after you get your first hit. By the way, Ryan and I will talk about it, but absolutely go grab Mason Wynn in fantasy leagues. All right, we're going to get into the pitcher category preview, but first we're going to take a quick commercial. We know the weather can impact how far a ball can fly, but we never know what all that heat and humidity or cold air is really doing to the ball. The Home Run Forecast Index gives us an easy way to determine how good or bad the air is for ball flight. The index is calculated by measuring stadium-specific weather conditions and is displayed on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the most unfavorable for good ball flight and 10 indicating the most favorable air. There is a strong correlation between the index and the number of runs scored per game and the number of home runs hit. Games that have that highest index of 10 for the whole game average over 10 runs and 2.8 homers over the course of the year. An index is created for each game so you can see what it will be in any stadium and how the weather's influence might change over the course of the game, as well as the wind direction. Right now, you can access the HRF Premium site for only $5 a month and see what the index will look like for every hour of every game. Go to homerunforecast.com now to sign up. Drew, this is especially late in the season. That's a pretty valuable tool.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, go get it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about those pitcher categories. For those unfamiliar, we're going to be talking about wins, ERA, whip, strikeouts, and saves. We'll also go over the leaderboard. Some surprises at the top of some of these things, I got to tell you, Drew. But now, I mean, we talked about it last week. We've talked about it a bunch. You've got to start targeting categories, folks. It is so late in the year. Your postseason probably starts in 2 to 3 weeks in good leagues. Yeah. In my personal opinion, that's when they should be starting up. But even if not, you have got to specifically be targeting these categories.
Yeah, if you're in a roto league and you're trying to make up ground in certain areas, it's smart to kind of compartmentalize things this way. Let's start out with wins, which are always fun. Great stat. Great stat in 2023, but you know, it's part of fantasy baseball. It's part of what you got to consider in a pitcher's profile, whether there's win potential. The leaderboard right now, I'll do the top 10 for each of these. Spencer Strider with 14, Zach Gallen, 13, Justin Steele, Taijuan Walker, Zach Eflin, Kyle Gibson, Charlie Morton, Max Scherzer, Chris Bassett, Nathan Eovaldi, Clayton Kershaw, Dean Kramer, Shane McClanahan, poor guy, Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
There's, I guess, some surprising names on there, but it's just a weird stat anyway. We don't need to really get into that. My under the radar option for wins right now is JP France. And you know, the Astros have a crowded rotation at the moment. It's a nice luxury to have, but
for sure
they've made Jose Urquidy available out of the bullpen recently. I think he pitched out of the bullpen on Friday. As they're rolling with kind of the six-man group and trying to keep everyone fresh. And France, like, remains locked into a starting role every, you know, five or six days, and he's been awesome. Roster percentage at 68% on Yahoo. That should even be higher. He did not get a win Friday against your Mariners. Congrats to you, Chris.
Thank you. Houston's
offense gave France zero run support, but he allowed just two solo homers over six innings. Building on what has been a hugely impressive rookie season, overall a 2.75 ERA with 80 strikeouts in 108 innings, a 9-4 record in 17 starts. Since the end of June, he is 7-1 with a 1.98 ERA in 54 2/3 innings. Six quality starts in that stretch. You know, France was like never a top-ranked prospect, and his like Baseball Savant page, his Statcast data doesn't scream like dominance, but his fastball command and fastball spin have, you know, that's kind of become his bread and butter. And he's had great success with his slider and his cutter, especially against right-handers. His cutter ranks up there across the sport as one of the most effective pitches against right-handed batters. There's been very little hard contact against it. It's hard to barrel up. It has like a lot of sinking movement. And he dots the upper part of the zone with his fastball to attack lefties. You know, it's a good plan when you have the command to execute it, and it allows him to work deep into games and let the Astros offense, you know, do their thing, except on Friday. Yeah, he's gone at least seven innings in four of his last six starts. He posted high strikeout rates in the minors, so maybe that'll come through eventually at the major league level as his career moves along. But for now, the recipe is really good for wins and ERA and WHIP. Just a really fruitful situation for, you know, for fantasy with JP France and that Astros rotation.
I think that's a great call. And look, France pitched really well yesterday. He just happened to run into Bryce Miller, who was fantastic. And also Julio Rodriguez, who might be the hottest hitter in baseball right now, picked up, went 9 for 9. And then I think should have gotten another hit to go 10 for 10, but they ruled it an error. The ball was kind of knuckling. And Jeremy Pena, who's normally pretty solid, drops that baseball. And then Julio gets a hit in the next at bat, but it's been incredible to watch him. Yes, I'm turning a pitching category preview into a love session for Julio Rodriguez.
What are the Mariners World Series odds right now?
I have no idea. I know that I bet $100 on them at 15 to 1 before the season. So I'm hoping for the best, but they're interesting. They're playing really well. They're playing really well. Why don't you look that up while I talk about a Cardinal that I'm going to recommend for win chances, which feels weird, but I'm going to go with Dakota. I'm going to go with Dakota Hudson. And part of this has to do with the fact that as bad as the Cardinals have been, I don't think they're still this bad. And Dakota Hudson has picked up wins in his last three starts. And the one thing we know Dakota Hudson does is he's going to get ground ball outs and he's going to be fairly efficient and get deep into games. And you've seen that in those last three. No, they haven't been spectacular. Yes, he has a 4.03 ERA, which is mediocre at best, but he gets deep into games. And I think he gives you that chance to help you in that win category. Next start coming up against the Mets. Yeah, the Mets have dominated these first two games against him, but I don't expect the Mets to sweep them. The Mets aren't a very good baseball team either. I like Hudson to get a win there. Then he goes up against the Phillies. That's not the greatest, but there's lots of favorable matchups, I think, coming up for Hudson down the stretch as well. I like guys who can get deep into games and give you that chance at that win. Now, look, it also gives you the chance at that loss too, because the deeper you are, the more that comes about. But if you're desperate for win chances, I think Dakota Hudson makes sense in that category.
Cardinals are plus 100,000 to win the World Series.
Let's go.
The Mariners are plus 2,500, so 25 to 1. That's
not bad.
That's kind of intriguing. Of the teams that are currently in, and we're going to do, I think, a little bit of a wild card based show next Saturday and talking about some fantasy angles. But of the teams that are currently in the playoffs, like in the playoff picture, the Cubs at plus 7,500. I don't think they would have the pitching to make it, but it's kind of intriguing. If you're like looking for an underdog, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Don't count on Dakota Hudson for anything.
I was like, you're just bringing this up because you can't say something positive about Dakota Hudson, can you? But look, I think as a deep sleeper, I think he does make sense in that win category. Again, I don't expect him to help in any other categories, but because he gets ground ball outs, because he can get deep into games, and because he's got some favorable matchups coming up, I do like Hudson in that category. Let's talk about the ERA category.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you actually. Like, and they need him to cover some innings down the stretch.
Sure, that's a good point too.
And that's what he's going to do. And I don't expect him to continue this run that he's been on because just the stuff isn't very good. But the Cardinals have been playing better defense. You know, like Jordan Walker's looked a lot more comfortable in right field. It probably helps that Nolan Gorman's been a little bit injured lately because he's not a great defensive sec. They've been playing better defense than they did in the first portion of the year. Sure. Tommy Edmond in center field is awesome. Mason Wynn putting him at shortstop is terrific. So yeah, it works for what Hudson's arsenal provides. Fair. All right, let's get into ERA. I'm gonna go with Graham Ashcraft first. And you know, overall this year he has failed to deliver on postseason sleeper hype that he had. A lot of people liked him as a breakout candidate. I liked him as a breakout candidate. And we're kind of just starting to see why people were so high on him within, you know, the last several weeks. He was really good in April, then had a really rough May and June. There were a couple of huge blowups in there. Then it got interrupted by an IL stint for a calf strain. But since the beginning of July, he has a 2.28 ERA over his last eight starts, covering 51 and a third innings. His strikeout rate hasn't spiked the way you'd like in that stretch, but he's showing great command and pitching deep into games for a Reds team that still has a legitimate shot at the National League Central title, or maybe, you know, one of the final two NL wildcard spots. Sure. Ashcraft has gone at least seven innings in each of his last three starts. He isn't walking too many batters, isn't allowing very many hits. I was digging into this. I can't really figure out why he doesn't strike out more hitters. Like, with the improvements he's made with his slider, he kind of throws multiple sliders. There's like a power slider and then more of a looping one. But he uses them more to induce soft contact than generate whiffs. He throws them more in the zone than a lot of pitchers do. Sure. It's, you know, the slider's an out pitch for a lot of pitchers, and he's just kind of using it to get weak ground balls or weak fly balls. It's like a solid real life strategy, as proven in his recent ERA. And, you know, by my amateur scouting profile, you know, with the overall profile that he has, I think there should be more swing and miss to tap into as his career moves along. He's only 25 years old. I like the adjustments that Ashcraft's made, the velocity, the cutter, great movement on his entire arsenal, and he can tweak it to, you know, to round into a really effective, I think, long-term starter for Cincinnati. But for now, I say you lock him in as an ERA helper the rest of the way, and you might just luck into an uptick in K's. There's been a bit of that in his last couple of starts. 45% rostered on Yahoo. That should be higher, even though his overall season totals are pretty lackluster. He actually has the same ERA right now, 4.89, that he posted last year, but the recent signs are good. Again, a 2.28 ERA in his last eight starts going back to the beginning of July.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually picked Ashcraft for the whip category. Now I'll pick somebody else because I don't want us to double up on that one. But yeah, I like that call a lot. Right. And I think he's going to be a – no, it's not true. It's not okay. We have to have 10 names. It's a law in RotoWire.
We have to yell at each other. This is Stephen A. Smith.
I wish we were Stephen A. Smith. We'd be doing this on a yacht if we were. I like that call a lot. I'm going to go with Dane Dunning, who I actually also thought about in the strikeout category because he struck out double digits in two of his last three starts. But I'm a fan of Dunning, and I think the fact that, you know, you take a look at the metrics and maybe you're not going to be super impressed because he doesn't have a great K percentage. His fastball velocity is well below average. He doesn't get a ton of spin on his fastball. But what he does is he gets on hitters very quickly. He has one of the best extension rates in baseball, and he throws everything for strikes. And when you can get on top of hitters and you can throw pitches for strikes, you can initiate a lot of weak contact. Now, that hasn't necessarily shown up, but there have been a lot of flashes that suggest that Dane Dunning has been better than I think those metrics suggest. And again, I'll point out the fact that metrics are not predictive. They just tell you what has or hasn't happened. The eye test passes for me with Dane Dunning. I like the fact that he's playing for a team that is more than in contention. Heck, they might be American League favorites right now with how Baltimore's gone through some stuff and some other stuff as well. Got to hold off the Astros to win that division. I think whoever wins that division is going to be my American League favorite, by the way. Whoever can come out on top in the AL West is going to be my favorite to win the American League. Somebody in the National League, I think, is the favorite to win
Atlanta.
The World Series. Yeah, I think Atlanta has to be the favorite, although the Dodgers are playing so dang well as well. But yeah, I like Dane Dunning in that ERA category as well, and it doesn't hurt that he has pitched exceptionally well in two of his last three outings.
The Dane Dunnings are, you know, a big part of why the Rangers have suddenly become one of the best teams in baseball. You know, they spent a lot of money. They got, you know, Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, and I mean, Max Scherzer, the trade for Max Scherzer, obviously.
Sure.
Jacob DeGrom didn't work out. It's like these guys that, you know, are former top prospects, or you made a trade. I mean, they acquired Dunning from the White Sox and he didn't work out initially. But now he's rounded into a very important piece for that rotation. And like all of a sudden the Rangers have all the parts that you'd want on like a postseason bound team, right? They can get through a three-game series, they can get through a five-game series, they can get through a seven-game series, and very, very dangerous team. I X'd out the World Series odds, but they would be an intriguing play for me. 100%. We're moving on to whip now, I suppose. Mine's Brady Singer as an under-the-radar option. He's kind of like been a forever sleeper, it feels like. and had that sort of mini breakout last year that has not carried over into the span of this year. He had a 3.23 ERA and a 1.14 whip over 153 innings in 2022. He's at a 4.91 ERA and 1.32 whip through 135 and two-thirds innings here this season. But he has one of the best whips of any major league starter since the All-Star break. He's like really finding his form again in the second half of this season. Over his last five starts going back to July 22nd, a 2.45 ERA, only 19 hits allowed and just six walks in 33 innings with 35 strikeouts. He went eight innings August 3rd against the Mets, pitched into the eighth last time out against the Mariners. There was a report Friday from John Heyman of the New York Post that the Reds really wanted Brady Singer at the trade deadline. That would have been a pretty cool fit with how well he's pitched lately. I'm sure other teams checked with the Royals as well. He's, you know, exactly the kind of cost-controlled starter the Royals need right now as they try to emerge out of this seems like a perpetual rebuild. But he's going through his arbitration years now and getting more expensive. So maybe they'll listen to offers on him over the offseason. And the asking price will only rise if he keeps doing what he's been doing over the last several weeks. Starting against the Cubs here on Saturday at Wrigley Field, a hungry Cubs team. A deep and efficient outing from Brady Singer in that environment would really solidify his status as, you know, a fantasy riser for the rest of this year. And I think in the long term, even though his first half was a bust, 64% rostered on Yahoo. Some people gave up. I say give Springer another shot, especially with the command that he's shown and just not allowing many hits. He's a really good candidate for the whip category down the stretch.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. And he's somebody that I brought up with Ryan during one of our shows that I liked a lot for the second half, just because one, he couldn't be that bad going forward. And look, I watched that start he had against the Mariners where he took a no-hitter into the seventh inning, and then Dominic Canzone, of all people, is the one who breaks that one up. But yeah, he's looked great. And, you know, not a big fan of him for the win category, but for the whip, I think he makes an awful lot of sense because he throws a lot of quality strikes. This is kind of a weird one because it's not one I thought I would be mentioning for the whip category based on what he did earlier. But I'm going to go with Mackenzie Gore, who has been excellent in terms of avoiding walks over these last three starts. In 17 and one-third innings, he's issued just five, no more than two in any of them. He's also struck out 17 compared to those five. ERA of 4.15, which is not great, but is certainly something that can help you. Looked fantastic on Wednesday against the Red Sox. Six and a third innings, allows just the one hit, two walks, seven strikeouts, gets six ground ball outs. Game score, if you're into that sort of thing, which you should not be, of 76, but that'll certainly play. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Gore as of late, and I've been impressed with what I've seen from Gore for most of the season as well. He's going to be somebody I am rostering a lot in 2024 because I think that he has that upside to be an absolute top of the rotation starter, and he's a guy that you could probably get in the mid to late rounds as a top of the rotation starter as well. Most people aren't paying it close enough attention, don't use that eye test stuff. You're in for some clunkers here and there because he is a 24-year-old in his first full professional season. And I do wonder if maybe the Nationals might be cognizant of his innings total as well. But for right now, Mackenzie Gore looks great, and he's throwing a lot of quality strikes. I think he can really help you in that category. By the way, Drew, we forgot to give the leaders on those last two. Do you have the leaders for the whip category at least? That's okay.
I'm not doing my job.
That's okay.
One sec. While this loads, the Nationals deserve credit for not being like
me awful, too,
because 100% they have every reason to be awful, and they're not. Like I think Mike Rizzo takes a lot of heat, because how far they've fallen from what looked like it could be like a sustained kind of not dynasty, but you know they were World Series champs just only a couple of years ago, and
that's true.
But they're not bad, and they've got some intriguing young players. And
they're making
life difficult for all of these wild card teams right now. All
right, in fact, with category, if I had, real quick, I just wanted to say if I had a vote for manager of the year, which I'm glad I don't because that's a stupid category, Dave Martinez would be pretty high on my list too. I think he deserves a lot of credit for keeping this team together. I know we always usually just go with, if team was supposed to be bad and good, that's who we vote for. But I think you got to give Davey Martinez a ton of credit for this team sticking together and playing hard as well.
Who's it going to be this year? Bruce Bochy?
Bochy, I think, will probably get it in the AL. In the NL, I think it's probably going to be David Bell, just because we didn't have any expectations for the Reds, and the Reds are good. So that's how that almost always works. Skip Schumacher. Skip Schumacher. Oh, it's absolutely that if-then statement. Yeah, both of those guys, I think, because of low expectations, we have no idea how good of a job they've done managing or not. Let's just be honest. Even if we were watching those teams every single day, we have no idea how good they are at it. But that's how this always works. Expect it to be bad, got a chance to win manager of the year. Expect it to be good, you better go 125-37 because that's the only way
manager of the year. No, yeah. Even then, you're not getting it. I mean, Dave Roberts should probably have five managers.
Oh,
of the year,
wins,
you know, right?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So looking back here, the ERA leaderboard, Blake Snell, is this right? Wow. I somehow did not know that he's leading the league in ERA, 2.65 in 136 innings. Do I have like a qualifier? All right. Anyway, Nathan Eovaldi, 2.69. Justin Steele, again, on another leaderboard. Garrett Cole, Sonny Gray, Merrill Kelly, Dane Dunning, your boy Zach Gallen, Shohei Ohtani, I think he hits too. George Kirby, Luis Castillo, Kevin Gausman, kind of rounding out the top 12. Over at WHIP, we have Nathan Eovaldi leading WHIP with 1.01 among qualified starters, we should note. Mm-hmm. George Kirby, Zach Eflin, Zach Gallen, Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, I think he hits as well. Garrett Cole, Logan Webb, Michael Lorenzen, who's been awesome. I need to like issue a mea culpa too, because when we talked about like maybe fading some pitchers for the second half, I was like, oh, Lorenzen's going to hit a wall. He has not hit a wall. He's been awesome, obviously, through a no-hitter for the Phillies. All right, let's move on to strikeouts now. Let me read that leaderboard and do my job. I think you can guess who's number one. It's Spencer Strider with 227 strikeouts and 146 innings. Kevin Gausman is number two. Pablo Lopez, three. Blake Snell, Garrett Cole, Lance Lynn, Zach Gallen, Luis Castillo, Shohei Ohtani. I think he hits as well. Mitch Keller. All right. He's been real bad lately. There's another mea culpa where I said, I think Keller has arrived early on in the season. And
whoopsie.
Still missing bats though. Jesus Luzardo. Good to see him at number 11. All right. Yeah. My under the radar option for strikeouts is going to be Nick Pivetta. The problem with strikeouts is like, you're not going to find many sneaky starting pitchers for fantasy, like in the strikeout category. They're all pretty well identified. I read an awful lot of those names, and they're among the best pitchers in baseball, because that's what the best pitchers in baseball do, is they get whiffs. So that is at 48% rostered on Yahoo. So he's out there for a pickup in some leagues, and you know, striking out batters at a pretty elite rate, backed in what is for now a locked in rotation spot with Boston. He had a couple months stretch in a multi-inning relief role, which is not a role that carries a ton of fantasy appeal, and there is some risk that he gets pushed back to the bullpen when Tanner Houck returns from the injured list. But I don't know. I think the Red Sox would have to like what they've seen from Pivetta lately in this starting gig. He has a 3.17 ERA, 71 strikeouts over his last 48 and a third innings. He had a 13 strikeout start against the A's in mid-July, a 10 strikeout game a couple weeks later at Seattle toward the end of July. We'll see what happens when Tanner Houck gets activated. It's probably going to be either Monday or Tuesday, but I would think, and I guess I'm just hoping that Pivetta is allowed to stay in the rotation and keep racking up Ks in a traditional starter type of role. Maybe the Red Sox will try a six-man rotation, or they could put Cutter Crawford in the bullpen. He's been really good, but over like the last few weeks, he's been their most mediocre starter. They've got good starting pitching recently, which is kind of a surprise. It's good to see Chris Sale back, but you know, remains to be seen. But Pivetta's second half strikeout rate right now, so since the All-Star break, is second only to Spencer Strider. That second half strikeout rate leaderboard goes Strider, Pivetta, Freddie Peralta, Kenta Maeda, good to see him back and performing well. Gavin Williams, who we've talked about on previous episodes, Corbin Burns, Tyler Glasnow, Aaron Nola, Blake Snell, Max Scherzer, Pablo Lopez, Luis Castillo, and Pavetta's number two. So that's pretty good company for him to be in. You know, we'll see what happens. We should know by early next week what his role is going to be moving forward, but if I'm the Red Sox, I keep him in the rotation, or, you know, do like a, put him in a piggyback relief role, because I guess he's used to being used as a swingman. But yeah, generating a lot of whiffs right now.
So I was just thinking before I get into my sleeper, you said he's at, Strider's at 227 strikeouts at like 143 innings or something like that.
146, yeah.
146. He's probably got seven starts left at most. I don't think he can get to 300, but he's going to get into like that 260, 270 range. That's really impressive, man. For a second-year starter to be even flirting with that. And if he had like a 14 or 15 strikeout effort, or maybe two of those, maybe we can start talking about that. The problem, I think, is going to be that you're going to be setting up your rotation for sure to have Strider pitching, because they have everything locked up except for that one seed, I guess. The Dodgers still have a little bit to play for there in that regard. But yeah, there's an outside chance that Spencer Strider could finish the year with like 280 to 300 strikeouts. That's crazy.
I mean, so he has faced 595 batters, struck out 227 of them. That's almost, you know, round up a little bit. That's almost half. That's, I mean, it's like 42% of the batters he's faced, he's struck out.
Insane. Good for him. This guy is not striking out bats at that level, but I can't believe we're recommending two Kansas City starters, by the way, for this category. Oh. But I'm going to go with Cole Reagans, who has looked fantastic in terms of at least missing bats, especially in the month of August. He has struck out 33 batters in 23 and two-thirds innings, only issued 8 walks as well. So he hasn't hurt you there as much as he has had big command issues for a lot of his career. There's a reason why he's pitching for Kansas City and not Texas. He's a guy that basically Texas kind of gave up on. But he's pitched really well as of late. He struck out 8 against the Mets. He struck out 11 against the Red Sox. Only 5, but over 5 innings against the St. Louis Cardinals. And he struck out 9 on Friday over 6 innings against the Chicago Cubs. It's worth pointing out that Reagans was a former top prospect, and sometimes these things take a while to develop. He's only 25 years old. Looks like he's really coming into his own. I don't trust him or Ensinger to help in the win category, and both of those guys are at risk of having a really bad outing. In fact, like even the start against the Cardinals was not so good. But outside of that, Cole Reagans has really looked the part. And if you're desperate for some strikeout help, I think Cole Reagans makes a ton of sense.
Speaking of at risk for a bad outing, let's try to find some sleepers in the saves category.
Good segue.
Let me read off the leaderboard one sec. My computer's crawling today. All right. Emmanuel Clase is leading the league with 33. Alexis Diaz tied, actually. And Camilo Duvall all tied with 33 at the top. Felix Bautista, Jordan Romano, Devin Williams, Kenley Jansen, Ryan Pressly, Josh Hader, Carlos Estevez, David Bednar, Paul Sewald, now with the Diamondbacks, Raisel Iglesias. And that kind of rounds out the top 12. I don't know. Saves. I had Adbert Adzolai for saves the last time we did this, which was, I think, what, a couple months ago, maybe early July,
right?
Or late June, and that was before he was cool. So yeah, I'm good at my job.
Nice.
I was gonna say Trevor May here. 6 saves since the All-Star break. He got lit up in his last appearance, and the A's are terrible. So I don't know. There's a reason May's roster percentage is so low, and you can't count on Oakland bringing many leads into the ninth inning down the stretch. And with him, there's like a risk of a blow up that's going to kill your ERA. So I'm not going to recommend him. I'm going to go with Gregory Santos, who has taken over the closer role with the White Sox, but is still available in nearly 80% of Yahoo leagues. He blew a save in pretty ugly fashion Wednesday against the Cubs. But if you ignore that, you know, conveniently delete it from his game log, he had a 2.53 ERA in his previous 57 innings to begin the season. Picked up 2 saves in the last 10 days. Could have had a third if Wednesday's outing went a little bit better. And, yeah, the White Sox are a mess, but it's not for a lack of talent. Like, they'll win some games down the stretch, and Santos should be finishing those games. He's had tremendous command all year. I think, 13 walks in his 57 innings. So less of a risk of a blow up than with some other available options for saves. He's only 23 years old too. So a nice future bullpen piece for the White Sox to build around. That, I don't know, that organization needs like a full on expose, 10 part Netflix documentary. It seems like there's always drama going on behind the scenes, but we can table that for another day.
No, I would think we should talk about the next 3 hours we should spend talking about the White Sox. That's one of the most fascinating.
I got things to do.
Yeah, that's fair. I do not. It's more fascinating to talk about that than the save stat, to be completely honest with you. But I'm going to go with someone. I have to be honest, Drew, when you put this list together and you put yours before mine, I was surprised you didn't go with the guy I'm going with. I'm going with Matt Brash. And maybe it's because maybe Matt Brash isn't considered a sleeper per se, just because of how ridiculous he's been at missing bats. But with the Paul Sewald trade and with Andre Munoz not necessarily looking like himself lately, he did get the save last night, did give up a couple of hits, but they were all infield hits, and one of them absolutely should have been an error. But Brash has gotten save chances. He's only been okay in those save chances, actually looked pretty good on Thursday. But here's why I'm recommending Matt Brash. Expected slugging percentage, 98th percentile. Barrel percentage, 98th percentile. Strikeouts, 98th percentile. Whiff, 98th percentile. Fastball velocity, 94th percentile. Curveball spin, 97th percentile. In pure terms of pure stuff, this guy is as good and maybe not better than any reliever in baseball. And I know that's high praise, and it's crazy that this is his full first professional season. Like, this is, he got some look last year. They tried him out as a starter. It was obvious he wasn't going to throw enough strikes in order to be that type of guy. But he looked really good in the bullpen towards the end. He was someone they were trusting in postseason games, in fact. And he's been, like, the last time I checked, he was like leading the league in appearances, which is pretty incredible too. I think Brash is going to get a lot of save chances because Munoz is going to be one of those guys that they use in the seventh and eighth inning as well. He's not going to be the set it and forget it closer like Santos is going to be, but I'm absolutely rostering Brash because even if you don't get a ton of save chances, he's going to help you in the rates so much. He's well worth adding for these final few weeks.
Yeah, Ryan Boyer and I did a preview show. I forget. It was kind of a category preview show, and I had Brash as a sleeper, and he was like, really? I was like, yes. Because he didn't really have a, you know, he didn't have a defined role. He kind of, I guess, failed as a starter. But I was like, man, if you just watch that guy pitch, you're like,
yeah.
I don't know. This is going to work in some way. And I would like to see him as a starter again, but he's found his job, and he could be just a huge weapon, even if he's like a multi-inning guy, or just have him be a closer. Like, he could be a locked-in, dominant closer for a long time, or setup man, yeah. Or a fireman, let's call him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the one thing that I guess worries me, is just because if he's also been the guy who they have brought in, if there's runners on first and second and it's two outs in the seventh inning, they bring him in and they have him only throw that
need
one
a strikeout, inning.
Yeah. And you need that strikeout, which, you know, certainly helps the Seattle Mariners, but doesn't really help fantasy rosters because you're only getting a third of an inning. And if you don't get that strikeout and if something bad happens, you're at risk for something really bad to happen. Also worth pointing out, Matt Brash, you know, the band Foster the People, he looks like all three of them combined. If you look at all of the members of Foster the People combined, it looks exactly like Matt Brash. Do we want to do streaming options for tomorrow, Drew?
I guess.
You go first.
Sure. All right. I'm going to take Logan Allen of the Guardians going against the Tigers. And when I first saw this on the board, I was like, well, he's probably rostered pretty heavily, but he's at 38%.
Oh yeah,
on Yahoo. Counts. So okay, thank you. I've had to.
You're welcome.
You've given it's me some grace on these recently, but he went. Yeah, he had seven strikeouts over six scoreless innings last time out at Cincinnati. Five innings of one run ball the start prior. Really, he's been pretty solid all year. 3.33 ERA, 95 strikeouts and 97 and a third innings for Cleveland. Gets a Tigers offense that is pretty awful.
Yeah.
You know, chance at a win, chance at some strikeouts, chance at ERA and whip help. I think he's an easy plug and play streaming option. That's all I got.
That's fun. And we're going to go head to head for this one, because I'm going to go with the guy he's going to be facing in Alex Faedo, who has only given up one run in two of his last three starts. The Guardians offense stinks. That's something that I think you have to keep in mind with this thing. Would I recommend Alex Faedo if he was facing pretty much any other offense? No, sir. Heck no, I would not, even though he's pitched well in two of those last three. But ride the hot hand. I think he's not a lock, but very likely to give you five innings of one to two run baseball. And Also, here's something to keep in mind. Drew's picking the other guy. So, of course, I'm going to win because Drew, you're terrible at this. You're just terrible at this, man.
I have some really bad news for you, Chris. Alex Fedo was pushed to Monday.
Oh, so now I'm terrible at this, too.
Well, all right. So Fedo's going Monday against the Cubs. I think we could still count it for our contest purposes. Or do you want to pick out another one?
Let's pick out another one. I'm just going to look at this real quick.
So the listeners can.
Yeah, this is. You know what? I'll go with.
Time kill music. Dakota Hudson. Dakota Hudson against the Mets. Nah, you don't want to really watch that, do you?
You know what? Fine, Dakota Hudson. I will have my own guy beat you in this because he's going to give me 6 innings of 3-run baseball. He's going to get the win. How dare you suggest otherwise, sir?
Well, it is a lighter slate because 6 teams are not playing on Sunday because of the hurricane on the West Coast. So, you know, a little more high degree of difficulty. We need to stop the show, Chris. I'm running out of steam.
That's a pretty good idea. This was definitely a really good one. That'll do it for this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Follow us on X. I'm at Crawford_MILB. Drew is at DrewSilv. Rate and review the show if you like what you're hearing, especially all that silence. You had to love it. Hit that subscribe button as well and check out more episodes from a variety of hosts on a variety of topics every single day of the week. Tomorrow, me and Mr. Boyer will be back with our 3 up and 3 down and offer some fab suggestions. I think we'll have quite a few because there were a ton of prospects who got called up. Thanks again. And Drew, why do you hate Dakota Hudson?
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.